You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is gonna go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Yeah, we're getting you ready for August already. We got a mock draft to review, a 12-team, three-receiver PPR mock draft. Travis Kelce went first overall. What kind of lunatic takes Travis Kelce first overall? We'll tell you on today's show. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. How's the offseason treating you guys?
Back in the building. Yay.
No rest for the weary. So what do we have any?
I've written more this week than I think I have. And this is saying a lot because Stardom Syndrome is usually a beast and so is Waiver. I've written more this week, I think, than I did in the entire month of December with the mock draft recap, quarterback top 12 recap, the playoff challenge rankings, the running backs, the wide receivers, tight end, top 24. It's been a busy week.
It's good that you're working. I've written nothing. I've formatted a bunch of spreadsheets. I found a couple of poker tournaments that I want to go play in. There's a baseball card show I'm going to. I've written maybe six sentences.
Okay. I did pick up House of the Dragon again, episode 5. So making
you
progress.
Never finished it?
Not even close. Got
oh, wow.
four
no,
episodes.
I saw the night before.
Oh, what'd you think?
Terrible.
Oh, you're such
turned
a
it off after 20 minutes.
Get the hell out of here, really?
Yeah, it was not great.
Okay.
Dead serious. If I wanted to watch Seth Rogen get high and have fun with Robin and the Falcon, then maybe I would have, like, I don't know.
Watched a comic book movie?
Maybe. Yeah. Or watched, like, one of Seth Rogen's other earlier, better movies.
All right, well, I'm sorry.
It was one of those movies, but with Christmas and less pink eye.
Sorry for the bad recommendation. Okay, so we'll talk about the draft. We have
we'll
news.
We'll try Office Christmas Party next.
Okay, give it a shot. I don't think you're going to like it, but give it a shot. We'll talk about Josh Jacobs and what the Bears are going to do with the number one pick and if the Lions are committed to Jared Goff and some coaching news and Alan Lazard not going to be back apparently in Green Bay and some news for the weekend slate as well as Lamar Jackson update to Tagovailoa. But first, let's just take a quick peek at the draft and the best pick and the worst pick of the draft. And Jamie, what was the best pick of this 12-team, three-receiver PPR league draft?
I mean, there are a lot of great picks. I know we're going to get into the Javonte Williams situation. Now, just for clarity, we did this draft, and you could read the, you know, we're going to show you the results, but you can see the stories up on CBSSports.com. We did this without rankings. We did this the day after week 18, so the first Monday after the regular season.
Is this the earliest we've ever done this?
No, we usually do it on Monday after. So Javonte Williams, for example, slipped for, I think, most of us. Aside from Jacob Gibbs, who took him in round 5, which was a steal. For me, the best pick was 2 rounds earlier in round 3, Ramondre Stevenson. I think I said this on one of our final regular season shows, that if Damien Harris leaves and they don't bring in any significant competition, plus the hopeful upgrade at offense coordinator, Stevenson could be a first-round pick for me. So getting him in round 3, I thought that was a steal by Frank Stample.
Yeah. Okay. Dave, what was the best pick for you?
I didn't know there was another Frank.
Well, our audience might not know.
Oh, that's true. But the, I mean, they watch the fantasy baseball today, and they know that.
They all every one of our audience members watches fantasy baseball today. Absolutely, they know.
Yeah, there's no question. I'm gonna toot my own horn. I think the best pick in this draft was Patrick Mahomes in round four, which I don't think anybody should really expect to see in their home leagues. But if he's going to be, he was the third quarterback off the board. If he's going to be the third quarterback off the board,
that was a weird one.
Then that's stealing all day, even if that is in round two or in wherever.
We may have a lot of critiques of Zach Steen, who took Jalen Hurts as the first quarterback.
It's not that.
That's where I'm going with one of my bad picks, but not Hurts necessarily.
Yeah, Zach had the 12th pick. We'll talk about his first pick in a moment, I think. But his third pick, 37th overall, was Jalen. I guess it was his fourth pick. Sorry. He had the 36th pick. He took DK Metcalf. Then he took Jalen Hurts. And you know what? Let's bring on Schaefer here, because Schaefer, he took Josh Allen ahead of Patrick Mahomes. So, which I think I ranked Allen ahead of Mahomes, actually, because Allen was
you better. And Chris Towers.
Yeah, Allen was better than Mahomes in 2021. He was better than Mahomes before his elbow injury in 2022. He rushes for a lot more yards. So, well, Schaefer, why did you take Josh Allen over Mahomes?
I drafted Stephon Diggs, so I wanted the stack. It wasn't really have anything to do with, I think, Josh Allen's so much better than Patrick Mahomes. It was just simply because I had Diggs and I wanted the double points.
Okay. Interesting. All right. What was the worst pick, Dave?
Zach took Kareem Hunt in round six.
He did?
Yeah, this isn't 2020 anymore, Zach. I don't know if Kareem Hunt's going to have a job in the league next year.
Oh, I'd be surprised if he didn't have a job in the league.
Does he get 10 touches a week?
I mean, if he gets an opportunity to compete for a starting job, then yeah. Would it be surprising if a team gives him a cheap deal and he goes in to compete for the starter?
Right, but if... What running back would you take in round six that's competing to be a starter?
Oh, well, we don't know.
Who's,
I mean,
his age.
To me, that I didn't mind that there to see if he does get a chance to go. I mean, the Dolphins may clean house, and he could be a guy that Miami covets. I mean, you could see him go to Houston and compete with Damian Pierce.
He went ahead of Tyler Algier. Would you do that?
No, he went too soon. But I don't think it's like that glaring that he can't be somebody of significance next year. We may get through the offseason and he's competing with Tyler Algier.
There is not a chance on this planet you're taking Kareem Hunt in round six if he goes anywhere where he's competing for a job.
No, but I think the thought is
that aging running back that he could maybe go in and compete with.
Right.
Or a guy that's unproven.
Yeah. The thought
if he goes to Dallas and Dallas cleans house and all they have is Kareem Hunt and Malik Davis, then he's definitely going to go before round six.
He's a third round pick.
Yeah. But anything.
What if he goes to Philly and replaces Miles Sanders?
They're still going to split back.
What if he goes to the Raiders and splits?
He'd go round six or earlier if he goes to Philly. If he goes to the Raiders,
replaces Jacob.
Probably like a round five type of
pick. If he's the only guy there, he's not going to round five.
He's the round five guy. Yeah, I don't know how good he is anymore. He went ahead of Algier. He went ahead of David Montgomery. He went ahead of J.K. Dobbins.
It's definitely too soon, but I would separate the two. Like, the pick was too soon. Mm-hmm. The speculation on him, though, it's not a bad guy to speculate on.
Sure. He could also re-sign. He's not re-signing.
He's not re-signing. No chance.
I think he ends up being a split back somewhere.
No, I would lean that way, but I just think that it's too soon right now to dismiss the idea of him getting a chance to be the lead back somewhere. Mm-hmm. In a committee, but the lead back somewhere.
Okay.
Jamie,
that was what I thought was the worst
pick. What was the worst pick for you, Jamie?
Oh, Najee Harris in round one. To take him as a first round pick at this point, like you weren't paying attention. Sorry, Zach.
He took both those picks.
To take him ahead of, Ken Walker, for example, Joe Mixon, for example. Najee's not a top 12 running back for me as it stands right now. So I like the way he closed the season, but you're talking about a guy that went from his passing numbers just cratered from his rookie season, which we expected to take a little bit of a downturn, but not to that extreme. And so, this was a little bit of a departure at points in the season from where Mike Tomlin's running backs have been, where they started to use a second guy. And we'll see how much that carries over to next year. But I do think that Najee saved himself from being just a complete disaster after what happened in the beginning portion of the season, mostly the middle portion of the season. But to take him still in the first round, like you're really taking a huge leap for him to get back to being that rookie player. And I think for him to get back to being that caliber running back, he's got to get more involved in the passing game, which I just don't see happening.
Yeah, I mean, he did finish strong. He had 22 or more carries in three of his last four games. His last four games were four of his
14 plus best. PPR points all four.
Yeah, four of his five best of the season. And, you know, he was scoring. He scored in three of them. So, yeah. All right. But yeah, still too early to take him in round one. And we'll get back into that draft in just a little bit. Let's take a look at the news and notes here. Actually, let me tell you about a new podcast we have coming up. All right. You know, Ryan Wilson is one of the co-hosts of the Pick Six podcast, and he's also been on our show a bunch talking NFL draft. He's our NFL draft guy for CBSSports.com. You definitely know Rick Spielman as the GM who drafted Adrian Peterson, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson in his time as the GM with the Minnesota Vikings. Well, Ryan and Rick have a brand new weekly NFL draft podcast called With the First Pick, where they dive deep into mock drafts, prospect profiles, stock watch, and more. The show is called With the First Pick. Check it out if you want any NFL draft content, which you do right now. If you're a fantasy football player, you definitely want some NFL draft content. It's called With the First Pick anywhere you get your podcasts. All right, so we look at the news and notes, Dave, and you got Arizona. This happened at the end of our previous show on Monday. They fired Cliff Kingsbury. Their GM, Steve Keim, is stepping away. There's a report that DeAndre Hopkins is on the trade market. You've got Tennessee firing offensive coordinator Todd Downing. You got the Rams coaching staff kind of in flux. I'd say those are the offensive...
Commanders.
The Commanders, that's right. They fired their offensive coordinator as well. So, Dave, what's the big takeaway from all of that?
I think it's got to be Hopkins, and that he's going to be on a different team next year, and there's all kinds of interesting landing spots for him. Could he be the number one receiver that's been missing in Baltimore? Could he be reunited with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland? Could he be Justin Fields' number one receiver? Could Bill Belichick get his hands on DeAndre Hopkins? And I think we can go on beyond them. The Giants.
Well, it's his choice.
Could be there too.
He has no trade clause.
What do you mean?
He has no trade clause. So it's his choice.
So he can decide where he wants to go based on the teams that show interest. I think a lot of teams can show interest in him.
I mean, he's 31 and you got to pay him. He's 31 and you got to pay him. So that's, I think, a lot at play here. And so he's going to want an extension. Mm-hmm. So you got to look for a team that's got cap space. And I think, you know, the Chicago makes some sense. You know, if he wants to go be with a young quarterback and a team that can maybe afford him there. There's a lot of play with this. They also don't have, as you alluded to, Adam, a general manager that's going to make this deal, you know? So if they're doing it a little hastily, they could get fleeced, you know, if they don't give enough compensation, you know, kind of what happened to the Cowboys, you know, where they didn't get enough in return for, let's say, Amari Cooper. So, I think this is going to, I would hope for the Cardinals' sake that it drags out a little bit, because then they, you know, get their leadership in place and then they can make a, you know, hopefully an informed decision. But I mean, I think I said this on one of our shows a couple weeks ago, that this was a possibility, you know, so not a shock that you're seeing this floated out there. They need to hit the reset button clearly. And that's what they're doing with their front office and coaching staff.
So I think the biggest free agent receiver this year is Juju. I mean, there's some other names too. DJ Chark, Alan Lazard. Lazard essentially said that he's not going back to Green Bay. Said that after the game.
He wants to get paid.
NSFW about it. Mecole Hardman's out there. And then receivers that might get cut from their contracts. It looks like Michael Thomas is headed that way. Amari Cooper might get headed that way. Hopkins is a tier above everybody that I just named. And so if a team really wants a veteran receiver, he's the best one that's going to be out there. And as long as there's two teams going after that guy, the Cardinals should get some good value for him.
You would hope. Let's back up a second, though, because a year ago, you never thought Tyreek was going anywhere. You never thought Davante Adams was going anywhere. You never thought Amari Cooper was going anywhere. You never thought a lot of these guys were going to be available. So it may not just be Hopkins. You know, we may get to that next wave of guys that teams are trying to rebuild. And this is one of those type of situations.
I got a name. Out of nowhere name. Cooper Kupp.
Could be.
Could you imagine? Yep. The Rams are going to hit the reset. It doesn't sound like Sean McVay is going to come back if he's letting his staff leave. And so if he doesn't come back...
I mean, staff's been leaving, though, for 3 years.
That's true. But this is a little bit different now. He's taking time to make his decision, but it just feels like he's not going to come back. And I wonder if that leads to Stafford not coming back, and I wonder if they hit the reset button, and Cooper Kupp, who's going to be 30 next year, ends up becoming available. That would replace Hopkins, as the top receiver that a team could go and get.
But again, you know, you're talking about in Hopkins' case, a 31-year-old guy that's had some knee concerns over the last 2 years. He's not a speed guy. You know, he's certainly a guy that separates and finds a way to get open. So, you know, I can't see a team necessarily giving up a first-round pick for him.
Well, he went in a pretty interesting range in round four of this draft. Hopkins went after Mike Evans and Jerry Jeudy and just before Chris Olave. So if you guys were going to rank...
It was a steal.
Yep. Hopkins was?
For what he could be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Hopkins versus Olave is the really interesting one to me. Who would you guys take?
Hopkins.
Not knowing his team, you got to factor that in. I'd probably still take Hopkins, but you know, he ends up in a bad situation with a bad quarterback. Then Olave might be better if they fix their quarterback situation.
What's a bad situation? Would New England be a bad situation?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think he'd get a ton of targets. I just don't know if he'd be a top 30 overall fantasy player. In this case, a top 40.
I don't think there should be so much separation between Garrett Wilson and Olave. Like, I think Olave, we kind of are forgetting what he did the beginning part of the year when he had a guy that was throwing the ball down the field.
Oh, I would take Olave over Wilson. Would you?
Over Garrett Wilson?
Yes, I would. Would you not?
Okay.
I have it ranked that way right now, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it that way.
I would take Garrett Wilson over Olave, but to me, they should be closer.
I think it's really, it comes down to if I assume Michael Thomas will not be back with the Saints. If he's back, then that would change things. And I need to see who the quarterbacks are going to be for both teams. But yeah, I mean, to me, they're pretty damn similar, and we'll just see who's in a better situation. Speaking of situations, I didn't like what the Commanders were saying just from a fantasy standpoint that they want to run the ball. They want to be a run heavy team, control the pace of the game. I don't love that for fantasy, you know, but we'll see what happens. But obviously they want to, they seems like they want to be a ground and pound team. And
Ron Rivera stuck in, you know, 1994.
Yeah, it's not and sometimes your defense dictates otherwise, but when they were winning games this year, they were throwing like 28, 30 times a game with Taylor Heineke. So never a good thing. What did you think of, Jamie, what did you think of what GM Ryan Poles of the Bears was saying about Justin Fields? It seemed like he was endorsing him, but not a wholehearted endorsement. Didn't completely rule out drafting a quarterback number one overall. What did you think of that?
I think it was a GM talking to the media in January that didn't necessarily keep all his cards close to the vest, but tried to the best he can. You don't want to tip your hand too much and not give up the ability to try and maybe get somebody to trade up for the number one overall pick, and also maybe try and trade for Justin Fields if you are inclined to take a quarterback. So, you know, once they go through the evaluation process, if they think that, you know, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or any of those guys are better than Justin Fields, then they have to make that move and hit the reset button and go that route. You don't get very many chances to get a guy if you think is better than the guy you have, because, you know, you don't want to always be at the top of the draft. So if they feel like any of these prospects are better than Fields, then you try and get a first-round pick or multiple picks for Fields, and you take whatever, you know, incoming quarterback that you like. But I have a hard time separating Fields dramatically from these guys, whether one way or the other. You know, so if you want to say Young's better than Fields, it's not by much. If you want to say Stroud, same thing. You know, I think they're all kind of similar. If Fields was coming out, he may be the best prospect. So I hope they do their due diligence and don't make a hasty decision. But for me, I'd like to see Fields stay in Chicago and somebody else maybe trade up and go get him.
All right, let's run through the rest of the notes here. Brandon Cook says he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. He was the number 40 wide receiver per game this year in 13 games. Alan Lazard said he's not going to be back with the Packers, and he was NSFW with it, not safe for work. Also, head coach Matt LaFleur said he would consider giving up play calling duties. Let's see.
You see who he said he wants to bring back, right?
No, who'd you say?
Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, yeah, it would make sense.
Oh, that'll be great.
Breece Hall thinks he could be ready for training camp.
Well, he had Aaron Rodgers, of course.
Breece Hall thinks he could be ready for training camp. Unfortunate injury for the Panthers. Right guard Austin Corbett tore his ACL in week 18. And if we look ahead to this weekend's games, Lamar Jackson seems unlikely to play this week. I'd say the same for Tua. Raheem Mostert is likely out with a fractured thumb. Baltimore signed Roquan Smith to a 5-year, $100 million extension. Their defense has been ridiculous since they traded for Roquan Smith. And great news for the Chargers, not going to be for this week, but if they can advance, they got a chance of getting Rashawn Slater, their stud left tackle back. He will practice this week. He will not play this week at Jacksonville, but at least he's practicing and has a chance to come off IR if they can advance in the playoffs. Meanwhile, Mike Williams is questionable right now. that's not an official injury report necessarily. That's just he's in question with his back injury. All right, let's turn our attention now to our mock draft. Again, it was 12 teams. It was a PPR league. Start three wide receivers and a flex, so it could get a little wide receiver heavy. 6 point per passing touchdown. And we already talked about the Javonte Williams thing, but as you see the results, we were doing this without rankings and kind of just going on. One of the main things we were using was points scored. So we didn't forget about Breece Hall, but we kind of forgot about Javonte Williams. And I think, where do you think he would have gone? Round 2-3 turn, right around there?
I think round 3.
Yeah.
Round 3.
I mean, someone would have taken him.
I would have considered him at the 2-3 turn for sure. So that's I had that pick. I had the first pick. Jamie had the third pick. Dave, what pick did you have?
I had the fourth pick, I believe.
Ooh.
I had the fifth pick.
Okay. All right, so if you don't see Javonte Williams in the first three rounds, that's why he went in the fifth round. Well, I don't mean to hog the spotlight here, but since Jamie wrote an entire article about my strategy, mm-hmm. how do you think it worked out with going with Travis Kelce first overall, and then at the 2-3 turn, I took Nick Chubb and Jalen Waddle, and then Joe Burrow and Tyler Lockett. So I started with Kelce, Chubb, Waddle, Burrow, Lockett. Jamie, what did you think of the Travis Kelce number one overall strategy? Did it work out?
I think it worked out. You know, and the thing that I wrote about is if you had done this at seventh overall as opposed to first overall, we would not even blink an eye about it. You know, so it's really coming down to, as we talked about, I think prior to this when you had alluded to it, that if this is the guy you think is he going to continue to be this caliber player, 5 points better, 6 points better than the field, then he's in the conversation. He's going to be 34. The year before, he was not the number one tight end, so Mark Andrews was better than him on a points per game basis. And so, you know, will you have buyer's remorse if there's that situation again that somebody's better than Kelce? But again, just looking at your team, if you had done this at seven, you know, and Nick Chubb was your first running back and Jalen Waddle was your first receiver and you ended up with Joe Burrow, it's obviously a very good team. Tyler Lockett as well. You know, the two things I think I probably would have done differently just from the overall picture of your team is if you go this route and you're sort of leaving yourself without the top tier running back or top tier wide receiver, don't take a second quarterback and certainly don't take a second tight end. You know, your investment in Kelce is to take him without hesitation to, and I know you could play the other guys a flex, but like, I would just be throwing capital at running back or receiver just to make sure in case you need one of those spots because you didn't take the best player there at that spot.
Well, I'm almost always going to take a second quarterback. And the second quarterback and the second tight end were my last two picks. And Juwan Johnson was literally the last pick in the draft. And honestly, 100% honest here, I really just was like searching through and could not find anyone else that I wanted. So if that had been a normal draft, you know, we had rankings up and handcuffs and all that, there's no way I would have taken Juwan Johnson. But fair enough. I had no problem taking Daniel Jones with my second to last pick. You know, because as we learned this year, quarterbacks, they seem really safe. They're not guarantees and it's not the deepest position and it can't necessarily stream them off the waiver wire. So if your guy gets hurt, you don't want to be stuck with no backup quarterback in a ruined season. So I took a shot on Daniel Jones. If they upgrade the receiver position, you know, I have no intention of starting him over Burrow, but I think he's a good enough player to get drafted. So we're never going to see eye to eye on the backup quarterback.
I don't have a problem with, I guess, that, let me rephrase it. Don't take both. Don't take a backup quarterback and a backup tight end. Don't handcuff yourself with two bench spots in that regard.
The Juwan Johnson thing, I would never do. But Dave, what do you think? Do you think we can pull it off taking Kelce first or second or third overall? It doesn't have to be first overall. It's just a very, very early pick invested in him.
I think you can. I think you laid out a decent blueprint for it, but I think it could be perfected. One of the rules that we've talked about for years on this podcast is don't take a tight end and a quarterback both with your first five picks, which you did. You took Burrow when you could have had DJ Moore, and then you took Jahan Dotson when you could have had Lamar Jackson. So if you're asking me which combo do I like better between Burrow and Dotson versus Lamar Jackson and DJ Moore, especially for the build in which you approached it, it's no question for me. The DJ Moore and Lamar Jackson duo with the other guys that you got might be a little Ravens heavy because you also got J.K. Dobbins. But I mean, assuming that Jackson stays there, it's a lot of yards that should be on the table for your team. So I think the one difference I would have made would have been waiting maybe even longer for a quarterback than round six or round seven and just pile up those receivers and running backs. I think he did a good job doing that, but getting Burrow just seemed like a pick I wouldn't have made. I would have tried to attack wide receiver, so I'd have a stronger trio there along with Chubb and Travis Kelce with your first few picks.
Mm. Well, that was one of the things that changed for me, because I wouldn't have taken Burrow there last year, but because quarterback changed so much this season, and you know, you can't rely necessarily on Brady and Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford, these older guys that didn't do so well. I thought it was more important this year to have a difference maker at quarterback. So I personally I no longer subscribe to the don't draft a quarterback and a tight end with your first five, with two of your first five picks, strategy or guideline. I've just thrown that out the window. And if I have an opportunity to get a difference maker, I really felt like Joe Burrow is a bigger difference maker than a guy like DJ Moore. I'm also kind of over Lamar Jackson. And also, I didn't know for sure when I took Joe Burrow that Lamar Jackson would be available to me. You know, you can always second guess it and look at that, but you don't know how the draft's going to play out, that he would be available to me later on in the draft when he was taken. Sure. You know?
Especially the very first draft of the year.
Right. So I have no problem. My biggest issue with my team is I just don't have a lot of catches. It's a PPR league, and I have guys like Waddle and Nick Chubb and J.K. Dobbins. You know, that's not ideal. But I don't know. Jamie, you can tell me how you feel about it. I have no problem at this point taking a tight end and a quarterback in the first five rounds. Obviously that tight end, it probably should be Kelce. I don't know how many more are going to, Andrews will probably go in the first five rounds, but you know, I just based on the way your team looks at the end of the season.
In the tight end quarterback situation, I think if you're getting two top five guys, it's fine.
Right. It's gotta be. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're taking, you know, if you were taking Deshaun Watson and Travis Kelce, yeah. You know, like there's already been like eight quarterbacks that have gone, you know, and you're going that route, then I would agree with Dave. But I think just in this case, you are getting two difference makers. And the flip side of that is you're not sidestepping running back and receiver, but you're trying to separate yourself at other spots. And so if Burrow is who we expect him to be, which, you know, he has been for the better part of a year and a half, and Kelsey's Kelce, you now should be able to significantly be better than your opponent most week at those two positions. So I think there's also that side of it. I also, you know, in terms of best picks, I thought Dobbins was one of your best picks too, or one of the draft's best picks. Because if he's right, and as we've seen in, you know, two of four games, he looks like he could be. That was a pretty good value pick. I was surprised when I did, you know, because I spent a lot of time, like you said, writing about your team. That did stand out to me about the catches, because I know that's something you usually prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing will be just for people that are, you know, the diehards, who again we appreciate, that are really following our content, they're going to see your top 12 running backs. When the list is up and you don't have Chubb in your top 12 and you took him over a few guys that you have ranked otherwise. So, you know, I know you said you did it for the safety factor.
Well, who else did I take other than Javonte? Who else did I take him over?
You have DeAndre Swift ranked ahead of Nick Chubb. And so, like, you know, again, for me, I would have, if I'm going that route, I want to maximize as much upside as I can. Not that Nick Chubb doesn't have it, but if Swift, you know, he had three games this past season with double digits in carries, and now Jamal Williams is a free agent. If he becomes their guy, which we all hope he can be, in those three games, he was 20 PPR points or more. So, you know, if he starts to just get more consistent work and stay healthy,
yeah,
you know, he certainly has top five upside. So I would have probably stick to, you know, in the case of you, your own draft board there, and gone with Swift over Chubb.
Fair enough. I mean, Swift over Chubb would be an easy call once we get some type of explanation why his touches were so low and some type of indication that they're going to actually use him as a feature back if they feel like he can withstand it. But if he can't stay healthy, then he's going to be a bust, you know?
Yep.
But
that's what I'd worry about.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about other people's teams and more things that happened in this draft and we'll get into it here. So we'll take a break on Fantasy Football Today. We'll be right back with more of this 12-team PPR mock draft.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Okay, so why don't we go over some of the results here, and we'll go through the first maybe three or four rounds and give some thoughts. So let's throw round one up there on the board, Schaefer, and we'll just go through the picks. And it was Kelce 1, Justin Jefferson, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, and Najee Harris. And I know we don't like the Najee Harris pick, but everything else here looks pretty standard, except maybe Derrick Henry. He went 10th overall. Henry was still, I think, like top three or four per game. So, Dave, is this a good pick, Derrick Henry, 10th overall? Sorry, 10th overall.
It's hard to say that Derrick Henry is definitely going to take a downturn just because of his age. There's things that need to get solved in Tennessee. What's that offensive line going to look like? Who's going to be the new offensive coordinator? Might the Titans go and kind of work his reps back a little bit? Do they bring in another running back, or do they give more to Hassan Haskins? These are questions that need to be answered, but still averaged a shade over 19 PPR points per game.
4 years in a row.
He was top five in per game overall. Consistency at the position of getting at least 15 points. 34th in targets per game. So that's obviously going to be the other factor.
That's good for
when
him.
When it comes to Henry. Yeah. People are right. He's been lower than that, and he had 30 catches this year. So yeah. I think he's still worthy of being in the first round, but you'd obviously rather get him in round two, you know? You'd rather get the better value.
All right, let's go to round two then and see if there are any surprises here. A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Dalvin Cook, CeeDee Lamb, Ken Walker, Joe Mixon, Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Travis Etienne, and Nick Chubb. A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Dalvin Cook, CeeDee Lamb, Ken Walker, Joe Mixon, Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Travis Etienne, Nick Chubb. Jamie, does anybody drafted in round two not belong in round two?
Not necessarily doesn't belong in round two, but, you know, maybe switch around a few of their selections where they went. Like, to me, Ken Walker's got top five upside, so I would have taken him in round one over Derrick Henry, for example.
Yep.
I think he should go ahead of Dalvin Cook. I would take Breece Hall over Dalvin Cook as well, so, and Jacobs also. For the most part, though, I think these guys are in the range of where, and Joe Mixon. These guys are in the range, I think, of where they're going to go. I also like Travis Etienne better than Derrick Henry for next year, too, but... So I think some of the three of the last four picks, not that your Nick Chubb pick was bad, but love St. Brown. I was hoping you'd fall one more spot to me. I took T. Higgins and then Travis Etienne. So that trio right there was pretty impressive.
Oh yeah. I mean, Higgins and Etienne going right before Nick Chubb was a real knife to the heart. It was like, oh, come on, man. I definitely wanted those two guys. Nick Chubb, though, has been a top 10 running back per game four straight years in full PPR. No, he's been 10th, 9th, 12th, and 8th. So he's been top 12 all 4 years. He's been top 10 three of the last four seasons per game in PPR. He was the 13th running back selected in this draft. So he's safe. Not as super exciting in PPR, but there's safety there. All right. What about Amon-Ra St. Brown? Jamie, you're cool with that. He went, 20th overall, I believe. No, 21st overall.
21st.
Dave, yeah, no, I love it. Jamie, you know, I think we've seen enough of what we need to see from him. Again, we'll see, you know, Ben Johnson and Jared Goff, if those two guys are back in their respective roles. But you know, with the threat of now Jameson Williams coming and, you know, whatever else they decide to do, bring back DJ Chark. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, total whiff of saying he was going to take a step back, because he did not. He was special. He's a pretty special talent, and you know, I think going to continue to be one of the better PPR wide receivers for the next several years.
I feel like there's a lot of players in the end of round two who will end up going like in this range. Some drafts you'll see them in round two. Some drafts you'll see them in early round three. It just depends on who people like and how badly they want other running backs. Like I like for now, talking about Swift and Ramondre and even Pollard and Pierce as round three running backs, I think that's fine for now. But I wonder if by the time we get to August, they'll get pushed up a little bit. And maybe some of the others like T. Higgins and St. Brown could get pushed down a little bit. Maybe Chubb and ETN get pushed down a little bit as well. And there's going to be just this big mix of players that are going anywhere between 20th and like
33rd. Oh, the rookies too. I mean, Bijan
overall. Yeah. Like once Bijan's in the mix, he's going to be a second round pick.
If he's in the right spot. Yeah. But yeah.
I do have some big news. If I could take a quick break from this draft to tell you that DeMar Hamlin is out of the hospital and home. So,
yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Hell yeah. So that's some great news to share there. And
then Tua's out.
Tua's
been rolled out.
Yeah.
Less awesome.
Skylar Thompson's going to start. So
that's even more, less awesome. Lesser awesome. That's so the least
it
awesome.
It is as good news as you can get for Buffalo right now. DeMar Hamlin's out of the hospital and no Tua. Right. So that's what's working out very well for Bills today. Obviously, one much more positive.
Yeah. Great news. Really excited to see him at the game. Hopefully. I mean, I can't.
Hopefully, yeah.
I don't know, but it'd be amazing. Okay, so let's go to round three here. Round three in this 12-team draft. And we've got Jaylen Waddle, who was number 14 per game in PPR. But if you look at the games that he played just with Tua, it was basically about wide receiver or 8 or 9. Basically the same as A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb in the games that Tua started and finished. So Waddle, Mark Andrews, interesting pick there. Hoping for a bounce back. Devontae Smith.
Well, look who took him.
Heath took him, yes. Yeah. So Waddle, Andrews, Smith, Devontae Smith, Tony Pollard, Chris Godwin, Garrett Wilson, Damian Pierce, Ramondre Stevenson, Amari Cooper, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Swift, and DK Metcalf. As always, round three in a 12-team league is where some of the picks start to get a little bit riskier, right? And it's usually about midway through. So again, I'll read them one more time. Waddle, Andrews, Devontae Smith, Pollard, Chris Godwin, Garrett Wilson, Damian Pierce, Ramondre Stevenson, Amari Cooper, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Swift, and DK Metcalf. Dave, what are your thoughts on round three?
More running backs and receivers along with Andrews. I think we'll see Andrews in this same range. The top half of the people in round three might be in the mix in late round two, and the rest are probably going to be in that round 3-4 range by the time we get to August. I can tell you that I kind of had that instant remorse after taking Chris Godwin.
Really?
With my pick, because I think I can pencil him in for 100 catches. I think I can pencil him in for 1,000 yards. Without consideration of his quarterback. Like, even if his quarterback is a notch down from Brady, let's call it a half notch from 2022 Brady, because 2022 Brady wasn't the usual Brady. I still think he can get to those marks. How many touchdowns could he get with, you know, league average quarterback? Could he get to 7 or 8? I don't know if he can. I do like that it's going to be a year removed from his ACL. So in a full PPR, I like the volume. But as I sit here and I compare him to Garrett Wilson, Wilson could get hyper-targeted too. He could end up with over 100 catches, and he's going to be more explosive than Godwin, so he's got a chance to get more touchdowns. So that's a pick I might want to do over on for me. In
did you
draft.
Consider Hopkins?
I did,
mm-hmm.
But I almost view him in the same lens as Godwin, with the exception being that he can probably catch more touchdowns. So mm-hmm. Godwin's going to move down in my rankings. He won't be anywhere near where I took him in this draft.
Why not Amari Cooper? Did you consider Amari Cooper there? He went a few picks after.
I don't know if Cooper's staying in Cleveland, because he's got a high cap number that they can move on from. And remember, the Cowboys were fooled on that trade, but what the Browns gave up, they're not going to care about that capital now, giving up a day 3 pick to get Cooper. So if he restructures, then sure, he's in the conversation.
I mean, I don't know why they would have to really do something to replace him, because he's really good, obviously, and we've seen Deshaun Watson's number one wide receiver, whether it's been Hopkins or Will Fuller, be an absolute fantasy superstar, you know, worthy of a first or a second round pick. So I thought it was a
great pick. Committed to staying there just from the standpoint of he spent a lot of time. I don't know if he was hoping maybe that they'd be in the playoff mix or not, but reportedly spent a lot of time throwing away from the field with Deshaun Watson. So, you know, again, I don't know if that was trying to make Watson get comfortable for when he was going to return, if they have a friendship. You know, or he's just, you know, hey, I'm a Brown. This is going to be my quarterback. Let me make sure we're on the same page.
Boy, almost every pick in this draft, in this round, has a question mark. Waddle's question mark. Who's this quarterback? Pollard, obviously, is a big question mark. Godwin, who's his quarterback? Garrett Wilson, who's his quarterback? Damian Pierce is a huge question mark. Ramondre Stevenson, free agent, you know, did they bring Damian Harris back? Amari Cooper, is he going to be on the team? Deebo Samuel, who's his quarterback? DeAndre Swift is a big question mark. DK Metcalf is pretty much DK Metcalf, but I guess who's his quarterback? Who's his quarterback for the full season if they draft someone? So it's a risky round. Let's go round four here, and then we'll get into Dave and Jamie's teams and see how things played out. Quarterbacks, three of them come off the board in round four, starting with Jalen Hurts, then Alvin Kamara, Mike Evans, Jerry Jeudy, DeAndre Hopkins, Josh Allen, Chris Olave, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Jones, Christian Kirk, Keenan Allen, and Tyler Lockett. Keenan Allen, that, I mean, another pick where I was like, please, 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 make it to me. Make it. Oh, one pick before me. Keenan Allen did not skip a beat. I know he's getting up there in age, but he was exactly what he always is. He's an absolute fantasy must start in full PPR. How does he fall to 47th overall, Jamie? Was that a steal or am I over?
No, yeah, it was absolute steal. I struggled with it because I took Kirk right before it. And so, you know, it was, do you want the younger player who's attached to a great quarterback or the aging player who's attached to a great quarterback? And so I went with the younger player, but I think you can make a case that Keenan Allen, like you said, he was awesome, but is he going to start to, you know, deal with a little bit more, you know, minor aches and pains? And, you know, they didn't really necessarily, it's not that they didn't need him, but, you know, they're still winning games without him. So, you know, I think if you're the Chargers and he's not 100%, you want to give him the time to make sure he is right. And so they may have these situations arise next year where it's okay, a one or two game injury turns into a three or four game injury. So you always got to fear that with players as they get older. But I mean, Keenan Allen's a star, you know. So if you tell me right now he's playing 17 games, you know, 16 fantasy games, he's at least a round higher, if not more.
Yeah, wouldn't he be a round two pick?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
15 or more PPR points in six of his last seven games. He averaged almost 20 PPR points per game, 19.7.
He's great.
He's just gets a ton of targets, puts in good work. You just have to hope he stays healthy.
Who would you guys rather draft? Alvin Kamara, who went second in this round, or Jerry Jeudy, who went fourth?
I think we got to factor in the potential suspension. So just to give you an idea, in full disclosure. So Jack Capitorto is one of our producers here at CBS Sports HQ. He produces Fantasy Football Today, our live show every day during the football season at noon Eastern on HQ. And he was in the middle of producing a show. So I was helping with his team. And so I made his first two picks for him with Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams. And then we kind of talked through the DeAndre Swift pick. And so I was like, all right, the fourth round, go ahead and make your pick. Just don't screw up what I did for you so far in the first three rounds. And he took Kamara and he was like, that's a great pick, right? And I said, it absolutely could be. Round four is a very good value for him if he's going to play, you know, the majority of the season, but you got to worry about the suspension, you know? So if he is going to miss any time, you know, then it's a little risky. So factoring that in, I would say Jeudy, I would say Hopkins, and just kind of go back, you know, you asked Dave about the third round. I think the third round is where we're going to see most of the quarterbacks start to go, you know, so you'll probably get at least two of those guys, Allen and Mahomes in round three, potentially, you know, maybe, you know, Jalen Hurts there too. So, you know, to see these guys go in round four, I think Kamara, you know, round four, if he's playing the majority of the season, is a very good value. If he's missing any time, though, he's going to slip.
All right. So if we take a look at you can see the rest of the results of the draft on our website, cbssports.com/fantasy/football. But let me ask you guys, for me, it was quarterback. Did you find yourself prioritizing any position more now in this January draft than you did back in August when you were drafting for the 2022 season? Did you find yourself prioritizing any position more now than you did back then?
I don't know if I prioritized this, but I wanted to hammer those young wide receivers. And I knew starting in round three, and I didn't do it because Godwin isn't a young wide receiver, but I started hammering them. Like in my mind, I was going rounds three through seven, just want to get as many of those young wideouts as I could. And I love my wide receivers. The guys that I got in this draft, thrilled to have them. But that's going to be a focal point for me. Hopefully not so much that I'm going to cost myself going after like skipping over the Keenan Allens and at this point the Chris Godwins in fantasy, the Tyler Lockett's, the guys that are tried and true veterans. They've been along a long time because I'm chasing the new hotness. But I want a lot of the new hotness because I think there's tons of upside there.
How about you, Jay?
No, I didn't. I actually was going to wait on quarterback to see how it was going to unfold. And tight end also, you know, so I kind of just took the same approach I normally do. And I ended up with Deshaun Watson. I did take a second quarterback because Trey Lance was somebody I think is worth taking a shot on as a second one. And I actually took two tight ends also. So I took David Njoku and Cole Kmet.
Kmet was a good pick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just ask Bears GM Ryan Poles. He loves Cole Kmet.
Oh, he was going gaga.
He was, really. All right, let's take a look.
Make somebody in his receiving core look good or sound good.
Let's take a look at your teams. I think everybody has a decent idea of how my team played out. I wish I had more catches, but it was Burrow with Chubb and Dobbins, Kelsey at tight end. He was my first pick. I had Waddle, Lockett, and Jahan Dotson as my three receivers, and then my flex. You know, I did take Darnell Mooney. Just because if there's a,
I like that pick.
Yeah, I mean, if he had 30% of the team's receiving yards in the first 11 games of the season, they just had the worst passing offense in football. So if you get that bump like you got with Jalen Hurts with Justin Fields, or even, you know, 70% of that bump or something, then Mooney could actually really improve.
What round was that, Adam?
That was like 8-ish. That was first pick of round nine.
I had actually just queued
first
him up.
First pick of round nine.
I just queued him up when you drafted him.
Okay. Yeah. So
I think I'd want to target him at least a round later. Maybe I'm just being nitpicky here.
You are definitely being nitpicky.
He'll tell me that I am.
I think the problem is that we don't have rookies and we don't have free agents decisions yet. So
right.
A lot of these guys are getting pushed up a little higher than they'll go.
All right.
So. All right. Anyway,
but, you know, yeah. Speed receiver coming off an ACL first year back. I don't know how excited.
No, it's not an ACL. Is it?
What was it?
It was an ankle.
The foot, I think.
Foot, yeah, ankle or foot. You know, he's supposed to be ready for OTAs. If it were an ACL, it'd be a different story, but
okay.
I don't believe it was an ACL for Mooney.
Why did I think it was an ACL? I don't know.
Because you hate the Bears, Dave. They've done much to you.
Goes without saying.
It was ankle. You're right. Ankle. I'm sorry.
Yeah! That's right. Okay, anyway, let's take a look at Jamie's team here. Okay, he had the third pick of the draft, and you took, what, McCaffrey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jamie's lineup would be Deshaun Watson or Trey Lance, McCaffrey and Cam Akers. Is he loaded at receiver? Yes, pretty good. T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Christian Kirk, David Njoku at tight end, and your flex is Tyler Algier. You also have Cole Kmet, you have Brandon Cooks, Cole Kmet, Rashad White, Hunter Renfro, Wandale Robinson. So again, the starting lineup is Watson, McCaffrey and Akers, Higgins, Devontae Smith, and Kirk. That'd be the strength of the team. Njoku or Kmet, and Tyler Algier. And that Algier pick is, I mean, that's a nice flex there. But
I did a couple things here. I took Rashad White in round 7. He could clearly be the starter for the Bucs if they move on from Leonard Fournette, which is an easy thing you could see happening. So I was very thrilled about that one.
Yep, he's on my list of cap cuts.
I took Renfro with the idea of maybe Tom Brady going through Las Vegas. And so knowing what he does with his slot receiver, so that was an easy guy to take late. Wandale Robinson, we saw what he was able to do when he was healthy. So, you know, hopefully have the luxury to wait for him. And then you alluded to this, Adam, about Brandon Cooks. You know, if he ends up with a better quarterback situation on a different team next year, to have him as a fourth, fifth type receiver, we know what he's capable of. He even showed it at the end of the season, you know, when he seemed to be a little bit more motivated. Finished the season strong, you know, 2 of his last 3 games. So, when the targets are there for him, and I think the quarterback play will improve, I think Brandon Cooks is going to be a better rebound, a pretty good rebound candidate next season.
What did you
even
think?
Even at 30 years old,
what do you think about Christian Kirk in general with Calvin Ridley coming back?
I'm a little bit more pessimistic about Ridley. You know, coming off of, you know, almost 2 years of not playing, and so I think he's going to be a significant upgrade over Marvin Jones. He's probably an upgrade over Zay Jones. I still think Christian Kirk is going to be the number one guy there. The wild card for me in all of this is going to be Evan Ingram if he stays. If Evan Ingram stays, I think he's still going to be a prime target for Trevor Lawrence. So to me, it's still Kirk is the number one guy there, certainly based on his contract situation and what he was able to accomplish this year. But really, I think has a chance to be the second guy there. if he's right, and I hope he's right.
All right, let's take a look at Dave's team, picking fifth overall.
Speaking of Ridley.
Oh, you have Calvin Ridley.
I took Calvin Ridley, I did.
Ridley me this. You have Mahomes. Your first pick was Jonathan Taylor, fifth overall. You have Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Taylor. It sounds like a Dave team, right? Very running back heavy at the beginning there. First two picks.
First two picks were running backs, yep.
Ooh, boy, your wide receivers.
Chris,
maybe. Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley, George Pickens, and Treylon Burks at flex. One of them at flex. Greg Dulcich at tight end. You've got Russell Wilson on the bench. You've got Clyde on the bench. Khalil Herbert with David Montgomery being a free agent. Brian Robinson. Zach Ertz. Tyquan Thornton. Your starting lineup again is Mahomes, Taylor, and Jacobs. Godwin, Ridley, Pickens, Dulcich at tight end, and Burks at flex. But that flex could easily be, you know, maybe Khalil Herbert or Brian Robinson. But anyway, what do you think of your team?
I like it. I mean, I don't love Godwin. We've already talked about that, and I wish I could have made that pick, DeAndre Hopkins or Garrett Wilson. But I'm more optimistic about Calvin Ridley, the fact that he hasn't played in a year and a half, maybe it is. I don't remember how many games he missed.
He played like five or six games 2 years ago.
I think he'll end up being just fine, man. He's one of the best route runners in the league, and now he's got a stud quarterback. To me, the issue in Jacksonville isn't necessarily what they do with Evan Ingram. It's what they do at running back. Because if they keep Travis Etienne, I don't see them as a team that's going to give him the ball.
Travis Etienne.
No, they're going to. But if they don't add to him, I don't think this team's going to revolve around the run game too often. I think it's going to revolve around Trevor. And so all the targets in that offense should be good. If Ingram's out, that just makes me like Calvin Ridley even more. And I don't mind Kirk either. I think Ridley will be better. And I love George Pickens, man. I think he's such a talented receiver. I don't think that Steelers offense is necessarily going to become this amazing passing offense, but I think that Pickens can take the leap next year, be their number one wideout. He makes unbelievable contested catches. And I think there's room for Treylon Burks to see a bump, not necessarily break out and become a stud fantasy receiver, a top 12 type of fantasy receiver. But I think he could end up being a low-end number two fantasy receiver, provided that A, he stays healthy, and B, he collects a lot of targets in Tennessee. Again, we're going to see a new offensive coordinator there. There'll be some changes made. We'll see how that affects Burks.
Yeah, but hopefully it's a receiving core with a lot of upside. I mean, you know, it's certainly there's a chance. I think, you know, if we knew what Calvin Ridley's shape is, role is, expectations are, you know, and you're talking Godwin is a surefire number one receiver, especially taking him in round three after going, you know, two running backs, and Pickens or Burks can take that leap. Then it's we'll look back on this and say, wow, you really got great picks. But, you know, I think Adam's overreaction to it was a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you keep taking, keep taking.
And all these drafts we've done.
Well, no, just because I know your rankings also. So I guess maybe that's what I'm thinking.
What do you think?
Zach Ertz. I don't have any expectations for him next year at all.
What do you mean? You know,
I don't think
he stays in Arizona.
I think he could draft Zach Ertz next year.
No? You think it's just over?
I mean, he's coming off.
I feel like we said the same thing this past year, and he ended up being
good. I liked him this year, especially with Hopkins out. So it was the start of the season, I thought he was going to be good. The thing is, coming off an ACL tear at his age in a very uncertain situation, knowing that his backup or his replacement was essentially drafted on that team.
Right.
And so...
No, I think he can move on to a different team.
Yeah, I think the end of the line is come for him as a fantasy option.
Okay. Well, he was my round 13 pick.
Dave, who would you rather have? What combo would you rather have? Lamar Jackson and Keenan Allen or Patrick Mahomes and Treylon Burks?
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, if I knew that Keenan Allen was going to stay healthy and I felt good about that,
no,
I knew Lamar. Well, one's obviously loaded with injury questions with Jackson and Allen.
I'm taking Jackson and Allen. No
are you?
Yeah.
I'm just doing to you what you did to me.
Burks didn't play a whole season either.
He didn't, but Patrick Mahomes did, and he was really good.
I think it's reasonable to see Allen was one of the steals of the draft, so maybe I shouldn't have used him. But this would have been your choice. I mean, you kind of.
So then I could have had Keenan Allen and Lamar Jackson instead of Burke. Yeah, like on paper, looking at your team after a draft, and you know all you've got are rose-colored glasses on.
Right.
I'm sure I'd feel better about Jackson and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, Keenan Allen was a steal, but. But yeah, you could have taken him. A lot of us could have taken him and we didn't. But what was I going to say? I was just flipping the script on you because you did that to me with my Burrow pick.
It's all good. But these are the questions that help shape our draft philosophy. And we're not committed to these teams now. Are you committed to taking Travis Kelce number one overall?
Definitely not. But you know, one of the things I talked about with Jamie after when he told me he wrote the story was that, you know, when I see drafts that are not the same, you know, group of 12 to 15 people that rotate in for us, basically, or we draft with the same people over and over again. And the people that are the players that are going to be available for most of our listeners at the 2-3 turn are going to be different than the ones that are available. You know, if I took Travis Kelce number one and I'm drafting with Dave and Jamie and Heath and Frank, right? So you might luck into a much better lineup, then it's much more justifiable to take Kelce. And if you're in a 10-team league, then I think taking Kelce number one overall is even more attractive. What I'm saying is the way our leagues play out won't be the same as the way your leagues play out. If you feel like there's going to be more value because maybe people are reaching for quarterbacks or something like that, then it should give you more of a green light to take whoever the hell you want at number one overall, because your number two and three picks are going to be even better than what you see in our mock drafts.
Well, if you just play this out from last year's average draft position, and let's say you were to take Kelce number one, because a lot of the players are relatively the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just going in different orders. So if you were to take Kelce number one here, and then just based on ADP, you're coming back in rounds, the 2-3 turn, you would have, this is just the range of players. So DeAndre Swift was 23rd, James Conner 24th, Javonte Williams 25th, Mark Andrews 26th, C.D. Lamb 27th, Tyreek Hill 30, Lamar Jackson 29. So the quarterbacks would go, again, based on ADP. So Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, those two guys went beforehand, before the 2-3 turn. And then, and Justin Herbert. So three quarterbacks went before the 2-3 turn. And another tight end. You know, so that's the caliber of the I don't want to say the novice player, but the non-fantasy analysts that right. you're dealing with. You know, so yeah. you're still looking at potentially a top 7-8 wide receiver may have fallen to you, a top 7-8 running back may have fallen to you, or maybe both, and you have that luxury.
Just to wrap up my thoughts on the Kelce thing, if you look at where he has finished among running backs and wide receivers over the last six seasons, he has been basically top 12 at both positions every year, but four of the six seasons he's been closer to 10th. Two of the last three seasons, though, have been real standout seasons for Kelce. He's finished as a top 6-ish running back and wide receiver. I think to justify him going first overall, he probably has to do that again. If he's more like RB10 or wide receiver 10 instead of RB6 or wide receiver 6, then you probably, even if you get the big positional advantage, you probably sacrifice too many points comparing him to, say, Justin Jefferson or whoever you're going to take there. He probably needs to have one of his better seasons, like 2020 or 2022. And I think he can, because I think the absence of Tyreek Hill, you know, was probably benefited him, and he led the NFL in red zone targets, and you know, but I think he'd have to do that.
Is it just that, or is it just the field also has to be that bad?
No, I think that even if Mark Andrews has a really good season and there are two great tight ends,
four?
I just don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. I mean,
I would lean that way, but what if it does happen? You know, I mean, what if we get the Hockenson full season of what he was able to do in Minnesota? What if we get the George Kittle with Brock Purdy over the final six games of the season? You know, those things happen along with Andrews bouncing back and Kelce still Kelce.
And you still have a pretty big advantage over eight other teams in your league.
But you also passed up on one of those guys with a chance up on a star player with a chance to get one of those guys significantly later.
Yeah, but you have to sit there on draft day and decide if you think that's going to happen, and I just don't think it's going to happen.
Sure. And the flip side of that is, you know, you get Garrett Wilson, or you get, you know, young player that's going to break out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the top wide receivers this year. I mean, and where they were drafted, St. Brown and Christian Kirk. Not the top, but top 12 sure, guys, Devontae top 15 Smith, guys. Taylor Waddle, yep. Absolutely. All right, I think that's pretty much going to conclude today's show. Late breaking news here. The Bills have activated the practice window for Micah Hyde, their star safety, and wide receiver Jamison Crowder. Don't expect them to play this week, but just like Rashawn Slater, a chance for them to come back at some point in the playoffs, and that would be big news for them if they can get Micah Hyde in particular back. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We got another show for you tomorrow. We're going to take a look at the playoff games, give you some DFS tips, give you some starts. A lot of you are doing playoff challenges, those types of things. You can check out Jamie's article about it, but we'll talk about the games and any other news that comes along. For Dave and Jamie and Thomas, I'm Adam. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not going to survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.